Welcome to the History Scotland Hidden Histories podcast.
You can probably hear a metal detector going there. The site that I'm at is just outside Inverness, about 20 minutes drive outside Inverness. We're at the site of the Battle of Auld Earn, where the Royalist forces under the Marquess of Montrose fought against the government forces, the Covenanters under Sir John Hurry. And here the MacLennan clan were fighting alongside the Mackenzies under the Seaforth standard, and a Royalist victory saw them wiped out. Catastrophic losses for the MacLennan clan, and in particular the clan chief Rory MacLennan, killed in that battle. The clan never had a chief for the next 330 years until 40 years ago, when a new clan chief was appointed. I've come down from the viewpoint where you can see over the battlefield, and as I say, I've come into the field itself where the battle took place and spoken to a couple of metal detectors who are out just now searching in the fields. They didn't want to be interviewed, but they've given me a handful of musket balls and also some coins from the field. They say that they turn up many of them. However, they have pointed out a couple of things. First of all, that it may not necessarily have been this field per se that the battle took place in. Like many battles, uncertainty about the exact location, about the Bannockburn being perhaps one of the more recent ones, where the archaeologists are quite certain it may have been more so towards a primary school rather than the site of the great statue. But here at Auld Earn, it may not have been the dip where the National Trust pointed to. It may not have been the sort of pitch battle that we'd expect. The metal detectors are pointing out that possibly was more of small-scale, hand-to-hand fighting, particularly in the town. And actually that much of it may have been done still using bows and arrows, where clansmen were asked just to rise to the standards, the colours, and picked up whatever weapons you had at their disposal. We're going to find out more as we head on to Inverness, onto the MacLennan clan gathering.
So we're back here again at the Highland Archive Centre, which we covered earlier in the podcast, but this time we're back here as part of the MacLennan clan gathering. And at that gathering, we have MacLennans from across the world who've come together to celebrate, to share, in fellowship and in scholarship on the history of the MacLennan clan. And I'm delighted that we're joined by Bruce MacLennan, who's travelled from Australia. Bruce, good to see you.
Hello, Neil. Nice to be back here in Inverness again with the clan and clan members. It's terrific to see people again and to meet up with so many of our clan folk involved in researching and documenting our clan around the world.
And this is your second clan gathering here in Inverness.
Yes, and it's building every time. We find more people coming to these gatherings, more interest in our activities around the world. It's great.
This one's a significant clan gathering, though. It's a particularly important anniversary for the clan.
Yes, this time we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the new chief being created after a 300-year period without a chief at all, following the loss of our chief in 1645 at Auld Earn battlefield.
And Auld Earn, I visited on the way up and was on the battlefield. We did a podcast from the battlefield. But your own research is something that is really significant beyond the Battle of Auld Earn, to the origins of the MacLennan clan, from its base, if you like, in Kintail, to the international reach of the clan. You've gathered a database which is now 40,000 entries strong over a number of years. What was the inspiration for you to start that piece of work?
Well, I became interested in the clan through, as most people do, through meeting others and finding their interest and building on what they had already. It's been a great exercise with contributions by many clan folk around the world. It's been great. But this year we were able to launch for the first time, given the point we've got to with a comprehensive database, we're able to launch a lot of clan statistics. And it's really quite interesting, Neil, to see the places where MacLennans found their way to during the early part of the recorded time, 1700s and 1800s, and where they then moved to, particularly in Scotland, but also around the world, in the 100 years that followed.
And you've actually got, in some cases, stronger records than, for example, Scotland's people.
Yes, that's right. We've spent a lot of time documenting families, even of those people who were not recorded in the official records as having been born. We tracked them down through various other sources and been able to put quite a... In Ross-shire, for example, many of the parishes, we have 50% more people in those being born in those parishes than Scotland's people have.
And as you're going through these stories, there'll be ones that stand out for you, interesting coincidences, interesting tales to tell. What are the ones that really, when you go through them, really spark an interest and imagination? For example, Neil McLennan from Texas is one that people are particularly interested in.
Yes, your namesake, Neil McLennan from Texas, was quite a character who has a county in Texas, the capital of which is Waco, named for him, but he had quite a dramatic time in arriving there with the Indians. This is before the Americans took it over from Mexico. Indians killing his brothers and his mother and so on in attacks. But one that really appeals to me is a fellow who didn't have any family or children, but he became a ship's captain, travelled many, many times to India and back, born in the 1700s. He then was given the job of captaining a ship that went around the world and was the very early arrival in New Zealand and in Australia, and particularly he got the job of being in charge of the second fleet, but he was the commander of the fleet that took people to Tasmania. So he was a really early character in the McLennan story, and he returned to the live on land, to Dingwall, where he built himself a castle-type house using the stones of the castle next door in Castle Street. And he has quite a significant memorial in the main churchyard in Dingwall that records his story. So it's quite a good place for McLennans to go and think about the education that this fellow had and the adventure that he had. For example, when he arrived in Australia, he took with him the ancestor of our current Prime Minister, who had gone out to a part of the Pacific, and this fellow, Donald McLennan, took him, Captain Donald McLennan, on the brig Dart, took him to Sydney, where, you know, he settled, and now we have a Prime Minister, a descendant of that fellow who he took to Sydney.
Fantastic. And you also have your own publication about your own family roots and moving to Australia as well.
That's right, Neil. My own family were based in Bewley for a time, and before that other places, of course, Olness and in Inverness itself. And we've recently released a book about that, which is available, called Friends, Family and Forebears. Can be bought from any main bookshop, like Book Depository or the like. It talks about, because he was a minister, this fellow, he was very closely involved with a number of activities in the community, causes and entertainments and, you know, obviously marriages and births and so on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we also have a book, Neil, that we've produced recently that's a guide to McLennan places around Scotland. Now, this book is available free online to read and take with you when you're travelling around Scotland, if you have an interest in these topics, and finding places to go and see where McLennan's made their mark. And one of those chapters deals with Captain Donald McLennan of Dingwall. So that book is free. Just go to, just Google a guide to some McLennan places across Scotland, and it'll come up there available, or go to our website, clanmclennan-worldwide.com, and look for the genealogy pages, and on there you'll see Tour Guide to Scotland.
Fantastic. I'll go on my own tour tomorrow. I'm going to go up round by Conton, thanks to your help in finding our relatives up there. We'd hit a blocker, hadn't we, and maybe we thought that perhaps Ullapool was the next place, but your own good work has helped to find that it's Conton, so I'm going to pilgrimage up there and then head to Kintail and head to Eilean Doran Castle, which again has significance for the family.
Yeah, because that's what we have really, is a significant database of MacLennans, and we're able to make links like we did with yours back to their your ancestors on our database, and people only have to join for a minimum fee one of the clan associations around the world, and they can join the clan and have access to this online facility where MacLennans historically documents are held for them.
Fantastic. Well, we look forward to that growing. We look forward to hopefully some listeners coming in, not just MacLennans, but others as well who may be interested in the connections that they have with their own family, their own clans. And just a reminder, that can be found at the website.
clanmaclennan-worldwide.com.
Great, Bruce. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
In the September-October issue of History Scotland, we're excited to bring you a fascinating article based on the first instalment of the new History Scotland lecture series. Murray Pittock and Christopher Watley, who delivered the lecture in Dundee in April, discuss the nature of the Jacobite movement and of the opposing, and ultimately victorious, Whig vision of Scotland. Also in this issue, Neil Bruce explores the reaction of the 19th century press to the appearance on the Scottish mainland of migrants from Barra, fleeing the consequences of the potato famine of the 1840s, while Amy Hayes continues her groundbreaking study of the Stuart Queens by considering the 14th century reign of Annabella Drummond, wife of Robert III. Plus all the usual reviews and features, including news of a cutting-edge digital reconstruction of the medieval Cathedral of St Andrews. Buy your copy of History Scotland online or in selected retail outlets, or visit historyscotland.com to subscribe.
So we've come down from Inverness from the clan gathering, and we've come down to Ealandonan Castle. You can hear the pipes in the background there, and I'm with fellow clansman Richard MacLennan, who works here at the castle. Richard, thank you very much for welcoming me.
Not at all. Thank you for coming here on a beautiful sunny day. We don't see that often. I'm sure the whole of Scotland are enjoying this weather at this time.
Absolutely. And the castle, I mean, it's not really a hidden gem. It's a well-known gem. You just, the number of visitors that are here,
yeah.
It's one of the most popular destinations in Scotland for visitors to come to.
Yeah. Well, I think the scenery around here on a day such as this, if you come up here, there's nowhere to beat it on the west coast, as we've here, with the mountains surrounding it, the lochs, and it's everyone's ideal image of a castle in Scotland that we have here.
Absolutely, and it's got a hidden story to it, I guess, for us, because it's associated with the Macrae's and the Mackenzies, but the MacLennans have got strong links with those clans.
That's correct, Jess. The Mackenzies owned the castle, they were given it, and the Macrae's, who own it now, they trace their ancestry back to Macrae's, who were bodyguards to the clan Mackenzie. And the MacLennan connection with this was that the MacLennans were the standard bearers to Mackenzie. Wherever Mackenzie went, the MacLennans would be there alongside with them, carrying the banners to announce that he was coming. And the ones who were given the charge of being the standard bearers or carrying the banners for a clan chief, were, that was a highly important job, because during battles, chiefs would associate who was the best, say archers, maybe horsemen, maybe pikemen, or just a swordsman. They would be positioned on the battlefield, they would join round their banner, and then when the battle started, of course, they all knew the position. So instead of everyone roaming around, you would all meet, and the clans would have that specific skill that they had.
And as we said earlier, a sad day for the MacLennans at Aldern. The clan chief was killed at that battle, and for 300 years onwards, we didn't have a clan chief until Clan Rory, Ronnie took over, and then Rory afterwards.
Yeah.
And the gathering this week is really a galvanising point for MacLennans across the globe.
That's right, yes, they come over there, there's still the strong feeling with it, even from the time that I was a child, before we had a chief there. My father's greatest wish that sometime we would have a recognised chief to come on, and thanks to all the works that Ronald had done over the years there, he was then able to prove that he had the lineage that he would be accepted by the Lord Lion to be chief.
Absolutely. And we're going to head into the castle. What are the real gems for you? What are the hidden gems within this beautiful scenic castle?
In the castle itself, probably the part that I like best is where the spy holes are. That in the large banqueting hall, it's the same size as what it would have been originally, and in there, within the walls, there are secret passageways, but there's also spy holes for watching for the protection of Mackenzie at that time when he was in. And there is a small room that people can go into. A lot of people miss it, but if you're in the know, there's a room you can go in there, and you can actually, even today, spy on people. They will not know you're watching them. And the room that we have in the castle, that is where the Macraes would have been when Mackenzie was entertaining, because he would have to stay friendly with other large landowners, clan chiefs, and the way you'd do that hundreds of years ago, before this Facebook thing that people are using now, you would invite them in for a drink and a meal, and but there was a risk that maybe if someone had too much wine, they're getting too loud, too much whiskey, they're getting aggressive, Mackenzie would want them out. He could shout for help, and from the security guard's room in there, that's where the Macraes would here come out and get them out. And that's where we get an expression, these would have been in other castles and houses and palaces, but that's where we get an expression that we have in English. It's in other languages I've discovered by working here, is the walls have ears. This is where it comes from, with it in there. Sometimes we get the youngsters coming in here that maybe haven't heard these old expressions, so I explain to them so they'll understand. It's the earliest form of closed circuit television, CCTV, spy camera, security camera, before we had electricity, computers and television. Yeah. This is the way it was done.
And very appropriate, because just before we started the interview, we got a phone call from my wife, and we said, if you log on to the webcam for Eland Donham, we can wave to you from the webcam that overlooks the bridge.
Yeah.
Where can people find out more information about the castle on the web?
The castle, if they go to eilanddonnancastle.com, the castle has its own page that tells you about the history of the castle. You've also got the local area, there's where people can get accommodation, and there is of course the link to the webcam that points down from the visitor centre onto the box where people hand their tickets in, takes in the castle bridge, the castle and the Isle of Skye in the background. So all year round, people wherever they are in the world can be look and see the people roaming around it in the Eilean Donnan Castle in all weathers, and especially today, logging that this will be recorded, but you're missing a beautiful sunny day, folks.
Richard McLennan from Eilean Donnan Castle, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for coming here today.
Thank you.
Okay.
So looking back on the travels around the country, following in the trail of my own clan, we've visited three destination, started off at the Battle of Auld Erin, a very sad location for the McLennan clan. We've gone on to Inverness, Invernessshire being a real centre of McLennan's, and then travelled down to Kintail and to Eilean Donnan Castle. But I would strongly recommend that listeners to the podcast go to the McLennan clan website and they have a look at the guide to some McLennan places across Scotland. Whilst we've covered a few in this podcast, there are many, many more. There are Glenshiel, there is Applecross Parish, there's Loch Carron, there's Conton, the area where I've managed to find some of my own relatives, more in Invernessshire, Glen Ord Distillery, set up by a McLennan who got the first license for the distillery, and then right to the McLennan Arch in Glasgow. A host of venues that are of interest to the McLennan clan and maybe of interest to others as they search out hidden histories. Bruce McLennan's guide is available on ebook as a PDF Adobe download. And it's there on the McLennan clan website. So certainly I would encourage others to look at it and to start to consider the hidden histories of various locations across the country associated with their clan, their ancestors, and people they know who've travelled across this country.
Find out more about History Scotland magazine at historyscotland.com.